are in this series. We started out called Learning to Love God's Word. And if there's one thing that we desire for this church, and if there's one thing we desire our lives to be built upon, it is the Word of God. The never-changing
Amen.
Word of God. It's an eternal Word of God. And just like that song that we sang, I love your Word. I love your Word, O God. Mm. The longer that I walk with God, the more that is true in my life. Because God's Word is going to give you, define your purpose. It's going to show you your destiny.
Come on.
And, you know, Jesus promised us this. He said in Matthew chapter 7, and this isn't on your outline or anything, but he said, you know, what, and many of you are probably familiar with this verse, that when you build your life on his word, you know, when you obey it, he said, when you apply it in your life, when you put it into practice, it's like building your house on a rock.
Come on.
And, you know, when you build your house on a rock, you're building it on an unshakable foundation. And he said, you know, so that when the rain and the wind and the storms of life come, that house is going to stand if it's built on a rock. And then he said the alternative course was you could build your house on sand. And he said, meaning you could hear the word of God and not apply it in your life, just not do it. You could, because you can do that. You could come to church and just never do the word. You could walk out and feel really good about it. But when you have to actually apply it in your life that week, when the Holy Spirit prompts you, you can't ignore it. You can just go, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you do that, if you hear the word and you don't do it, it's like building your house or your life on sand. And he said, we all know what happens. I mean, consider building your house without a rock foundation. You build it on sand. He said, when the wind and the storms of life come, it's going to beat against that house. And he said, great is the fall of it.
Yep.
And so when I think about that, this is why we want to develop a love for God's word.
Come on.
A hunger for his word. Because it has the power to give us our salvation and our inheritance in Christ, who we are in Christ, what we're doing in the earth. And so it's just vital, we said last week, to learn how to listen to God, that we have listening ears, because God's going to speak to us
Amen.
Through the word of God. That's really the primary way that God speaks to us, is through the written word of God. So no matter what your impressions are when you get up in the morning, how you feel, we all get up in the morning, we could feel a million different ways, right? From one day to the next. We can feel a lot of different things. We can have a lot of different impressions. Or we can hang around with people that give us a lot of advice, trying to give us good advice, good words. But it all has to be filtered through the counsel, the full counsel of the Word of God.
Come on. Come on.
And we do emphasize the full counsel of the Word of God. Why do we emphasize the full counsel of the Word of God? Because it's easy to just take a scripture and kind of distort it into what you want it to say. Anybody who's read the Bible begins to understand that. I mean, if I want to date, marry an unbeliever, I can point to a scripture and say, well, the scripture says that I'm supposed to seek and save the lost. You know, it says to love the lost. But it also says the other part of that full counsel is that we are not to be unequally yoked
Come
with
on.
Unbelievers. And so I need the full counsel of God, because I can just take things out of context and make them say what I want it to say. If you don't have a discerning heart, I can convince my heart that it says what I want it.
We can do that.
Yeah, to just fit my viewpoint and then just turn a blind eye and a
Come
deaf
on.
Ear to scriptures that are warning me about things I need to be warned about. Like having just an unrepentant heart about maybe things in my life that God's trying to get my attention for, and he knows that sin left in my life is going to destroy my life. But if I just keep an unrepentant heart towards it and I just focus in, you know, I purposely just avoid the scriptures that warn me of these things.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us know we can do that? Just kind of skim over that, and I'm looking for those love words, and I'm looking for those... A gospel that makes me just always feel good. But, you know, the full gospel is not going to always make you feel good about yourself. Because the full gospel, and the full gospel talks about picking up your cross and dying to yourself, actually dying to your flesh
there
and
you
walking
go.
With
Come
God.
On.
So the human heart is just easily led astray. Our hearts can easily lead us astray, and this is why we need to understand and know, hide God's word in our heart, the full word of God, because, and I'm going to put this scripture up, Hebrews 4:12, we just
yes.
sang it, We sang a scripture. It says the word of God. Let's back that up. We had the beginning part of that verse. The word of God is living and active. It's sharper. Maybe we know it from the song. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I love your word.
I love your word,
oh God, because it'll do that. As we plant it in our heart, it'll start to discern the thoughts and intentions of my heart and lead me in a way that's a purifying way to walk with
God.
That's a holy walk with God. So there you go. I'll hand that over to you.
It's really important because we want the full counsel of God, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Jeremiah talks about the human heart is so deceitful, and who can know it? It's important for us to desire the full counsel of God, because we could lead ourselves into destruction by talking ourselves into the candy of the word instead of the meat of the word. Amen. Everybody say full counsel.
Full counsel.
Everybody say, I need God's full counsel.
I need God's full counsel.
That we have to know accurately what God is saying. We really have to be able to discern God's thoughts from the devil's thoughts, from the world's thoughts, and from our own flesh. Amen.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to be able to do that is just because of that scripture we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. That's right, because it's a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of our heart.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go through your life being wrong, do you?
Yeah.
Because at the end is disaster.
Yeah.
It is disaster. We want to know how to... We want to know what God has for our life, don't we?
Yeah.
I've heard this before, that everybody's climbing a ladder, trying to get to the top. And then, people who are not listening to the full counsel of God will get to the top of that ladder and find out that it's leaning against the wrong building. And they've wasted all their life.
Yeah.
We need to put God's word as a priority in our life. And this is really important for us to understand. God's word is His will.
Yeah.
What is God's will for my life? You know, you can find in the Bible where He says, God wills us to know the mystery of His will. He wants you to know the mystery of His will for your life. It's really important, and the only way we're going to do that is through the full counsel of God's will. Last week we talked about how we can listen to God. And we're not talking about hearing an audible voice. We're talking about when you read the Bible, you're listening to the Bible. Amen? And it says, we brought this up, that you have to have a teachable spirit. You have to have a teachable heart. You have to have a humble spirit. You have to be willing to be corrected. We also have to approach God's word with faith and an expectation that He wants to teach us. He wants to teach us. Everybody say, God wants to teach me.
God wants to teach me.
It's true. Teach me, O Lord. Let me know your ways. So when, this is on our outline here, when we approach God with a teachable spirit and with a holy, healthy reverence, we're going to start to hear from God. He's going to start to save us.
Yeah.
The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And James says that we are to receive the engrafted word of God, that we could have our souls saved. See, our souls need to be renewed. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
There's a scripture that we have been in these prayer meetings praying for the fear of God. We want the fear of God. And we find out in Isaiah chapter 11 that Jesus, this is speaking of Jesus, that He delighted in the fear of the Lord. When's the last time you prayed that? Wow. When's the last time you prayed that?
If you come to the prayer meeting, you could help pray with us, right?
I suggest you pray for that. I say, Lord, I want the fear of the Lord. Because you know, God dearly loves his children. He loves his people. And the Bible declares we can approach his throne with boldness. We can boldly come to the throne of God. But we can only go to the throne of God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Right.
He shed his blood. That's why we can come boldly to the throne of God. We can come boldly to the throne of God. But we also have to remember who we're communicating with. This isn't your buddy that you go hunting and fishing with. This isn't your buddy that you go shopping with. This is God Almighty. Yeah. He is the great King. He is the one who's created all things that are visible and invisible. He is holy and pure and righteous. Do you remember when Moses met with God on the top of the mountain? He said these words. He says, I fearfully tremble and quake. Remember Apostle John when he saw Jesus in all his glory? What happened? Yeah, it says exactly. He became like a dead man. We can come boldly to God. We can get the help in the time of need. But we better go to him in holy reverence.
Yeah. Proverbs.
Oh. We've got to, yeah. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Look at that. Here's the important part. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise instruction. We don't want to be that way, amen?
Right.
We want God, who knows everything, the beginning from the end, to teach us. We want him to reveal to us his plan for our life. All of this world's communication is it broke down all the boundaries to honor, respect. It's ridiculous. But if we start following the things of the world, you know, we're going to lose sight of what true honor is and what respect is.
Right.
We're not supposed to be like the world, folks.
Right.
Amen? We've got to remember who we're communicating with.
That's right.
We really do. We have to give him the highest honor that he deserves.
Yes. Yeah.
Because he deserves it. And I guess I'll tell you right now, every single one of us is going to give him that honor that he deserves.
Yeah.
Even unbelievers at one point are going to humble themselves and give him the highest honor he deserves with great regret and an everlasting sentence upon their life.
I mean, consider how Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, he taught his disciples how to pray. We're all familiar with the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes we could just say it. We're not even thinking what he was saying, but he did say, "Our Father who art in heaven." What was the next phrase? Hallowed, holy is your name.
Holy is your name.
So the approach to our Heavenly Father is to remember, wait a minute, I am approaching a holy God. And sometimes I think in our society, our culture, we've just forgotten what that even means, what that looks like, what that feels like. I mean, but we you can cultivate it in real simple ways. And I think about, I remember when we were raising our kids, and, you know, when we sit down to eat, we'd first pray, thank God for our food. But we didn't always do that. I mean, we didn't always do that for the longest time. I don't know, we just, before we got into the Word of God and really gave our life to God, we just sat down and ate our food, happy to eat, and you're talking, and that was the end of it. But as we began to grow in the things of God, and in this whole sense of, this God is holy, like we have forgotten these things. Like, so we sit down to pray, you know, before meals. You think you could sit, you could, as we began, we changed, because beforehand, we would not do it.
Right.
Then you think you're eating three meals a day. All right? That's a lot of praying. That's a lot of opportunity to pray. And how many of us know that you can just get into the routine of things? And how many of us have memorized prayers before meals that we just sort of, we don't even know what they are. I don't know. We never said them as kids, so I don't know those memorized meal prayers. Yeah. You said the one.
We make God is good, God is great, and we thank him for our food.
But it just can get repetitious. Like, you're just doing this. You're not even thinking what you're doing. It's mindless. It's like, let's just get this over with so we can get the most important part, the food, right? Grab our forks and eat. And so often we'd find that as we're praying, you know, we're learning to pray and before we eat, but that gets to be repetitious. Like I said, three times a day, you sit down and, you grab your cup and your fork and let's pray. And I began to think, wait a minute. We are approaching God right here. He's in the room.
Right.
This might look just like our little old dining room here, but he's here. And so let's put our forks down.
Yes.
Let's get your hand off the cup, and let's really engage with who we're talking to.
Come on.
And it really taught me, I think it taught our children, that this is not just about some spouting off some prayer just to get it over with. I mean, how would you like it if somebody approached you all the time with the same thing, that just say, oh, hi, honey, hope you had a good day. I'll talk to you later. Amen. Every time they see you, you sit down and say the same thing. Oh, hi, honey, how are you? Hope you had a good day. Amen. Goodbye. I'll talk to you later. It's just like you think, we're talking to God.
Come on.
He's a person. He's listening. So let's engage. Even at a meal, we can honor him for who he is. Holy is your name. And we could speak to him and thank him for the food, because the food isn't the most important part
Amen.
Of this. God is really the most important part of this, because we're saying he's our provider, he's
Come
our
on.
Source.
Right.
So let's treat him like that. God, you know, I thank you for the money that you get. I thank you for my ability to go to work and make the money, like we were saying after worship. You're giving me breath in my lungs. And so I just thank you. We put our mind, we must engage ourselves deeper in these kinds of things in the simplest of ways. And when you do this by faith, it's going to make his presence more real and more personal in your home and in the minds of your children, too, that this isn't just something we're doing to make it sound good. We're actually talking to a holy God, our Father.
Amen. You know, today we want to share a message, and we've titled this is Hiding God's Word in Your Heart. Yeah. Hiding God's Word in Your Heart. And the question, of course, is then follow up is what sort of things are in your heart? What sort of things are in your mind? The world puts out a constant barrage of their idea of life.
Ungodly,
you listen to ungodly music, ungodly words, ungodly images. I'm telling you, the world's full of it.
Yes, it is. Oh, pun intended or no pun.
The world is full of it.
Yeah.
That's as close as I get to cussing. But it's true. If you and I are allowing this onslaught to come into your mind and your heart unfiltered, I'll tell you right now, you're not taking full responsibility for your life.
Yeah.
You ought to write that down. Because the Bible declares here, and look at it again, Proverbs chapter 4. It says this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So what's in your heart? How's your life been going? What's in your heart? What's in your mind? Anger? Lust? Lies? The ugliness that you can see and find on the internet? In TVs? In the movies? Are you harboring bitterness, resentment, greed, unforgiveness? Are you envious of other people? Whatever's in your heart is going to determine the course of your life.
Yeah. And so look at what else this verse is saying. The beginning part says, guard your heart.
Yes.
Above all else, guard it. So who's going to guard your heart?
Me.
Yeah. I mean, is God going to send an angel down and say, I'll guard your heart for you? And no, you and I are responsible to guard our hearts.
Come on.
That's what that implies, that I can choose to guard it. In fact, this is on our outline, I must choose to guard my heart.
Amen.
If I want to finish my course of life and follow the will of God for my life and finish my course with joy, I must choose to guard my heart. Because it's not really about starting out in the Christian life. It's not only. I mean, yes, our salvation. Absolutely. That's the beginning part of the walk.
Amen.
But it's not just about starting. It's staying on the narrow path, right? I mean, staying with Jesus, holding on to our faith until the end.
That's right.
And the longer that I live, I see how difficult it is for people to finish. It's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
The drifting that takes place and the changes of heart that take place. I mean, just this week there was somebody, a man, Joshua Harris, who wrote a book. Books. Married 21 years. A Christian. Publicly announced, I'm saying goodbye to my faith. I'm no longer a Christian. He declared it. He said, I'm saying goodbye to Jesus. Well, I thought, wow. You know, you can start out with a passion, and you can write books, obviously.
Yeah.
And still grow cold. And the longer that I walk with God, the more I realize it doesn't actually get easier for your passion to grow for the things of God. It's easier for it to fall away than it is to grow. You must stay focused, and you must stay determined and persevere, because life hits you, and life hits you, and disappointments come, and the timing is delayed, and all the promises aren't answered when you want them, and you realize sometimes you feel like, what's happening? Like, where are you, Lord?
And you have to
stay determined. I'm going to stay on this path. I'm going to guard my heart.
Come on.
I am not going to let bitterness come in. I'm not going to let discouragement come in and tell me, just let it go. Just let the church thing go. It's not working out for you. And then you could put yourself in remembrance of the day maybe you raised your hand, you made a decision for Christ, and you realized, I had such passion then. I had such zeal then. What happened? It's often because we just aren't guarding our heart. We're letting everything from the world come in, and we're thinking every thought unfiltered.
Come on.
And so this scripture says, guard your heart, because if I want to finish and make it to the end, I must choose to guard. This is on our outline. What are you allowing into your ears, your ear gate, your eye gate? Because whatever you're listening to all the time and whatever you're looking at all the time are like seeds. Words are like seeds,
very
images.
Good.
They go down, you think on them, they go down into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, you and I have been given the responsibility to guard our heart.
Come on.
To keep track and aware of the things that we're thinking. And what we're actually ending up hiding on the inside. And so if you're struggling, you think, you know, just like you mentioned some of those things, if you're struggling in your heart, like with things, whatever it might be, and we do struggle.
Amen.
We all struggle. Anger, lust, you know, you said lies, bitterness, offenses, discouragement. Maybe it's because you're just continually letting more of the world's wisdom inside of your ears and your eyes rather than planting God's true wisdom from his word. Because if you fill your mind and heart with the word of God and you think on it, you meditate on it, it's like a godly filter.
Amen.
It's going to give you discernment whenever you see things and hear things. It's going to give you a defense against the evil messages, because we do, just like Chris when he was exhorting this morning before the song, we have an enemy.
Yes.
Who wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And he's whispering. He's a deceiver. He whispers lies on the so that we take them, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say
Come
that?
Come on.
And she took it, and we know the result of that. So God gives us his word, the Bible, to show us how to think, how we ought to
Amen.
Live. We need that guidance. If you want to live a blessed life, If you want your children to live a blessed life, and who doesn't
Amen.
Want our kids to live a blessed life? We want to finish our race, be pleasing to God. You know, we have to on purpose hide his word inside of our heart. So look at Psalm 119:11 says this, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding God's word in our heart just essentially means thinking on it,
yes.
meditating on it, listening to it.
Yep.
Allowing it to go into your eyes as you're taking it in here, your ears, you could listen to it online so routinely that it just begins to sink down deeply in your heart. So that when you go about your daily life, the Holy Spirit has something to whisper to
Amen.
You.
Yes.
Instead of the whispers of the enemy, you've
right.
got the whisper of the Spirit speaking to you.
You know, we've never been really about memorizing Scripture at all. But just like what Pastor Mamie was saying, as you, you know, you focus on this, the Word, as you are consistent in reading, as you're persistent in listening to it, as you've decided that you're going to give up the infomercials to read the Word of God, that just drops down into your heart, and you're going to find yourself, because you are a born-again child of God, you're going to find yourself starting to think according to the Word of God. And then you're going to be able to judge those thoughts that come into your mind. Anybody recognize those thoughts that come into your mind can be as fast as machine gun bullets? Now, if you don't have a filter on that, you're in a lot of trouble. You are in a lot of trouble. But who's responsible to guard your heart?
Me.
Yeah.
Nobody but yourself. So you can't say, well, the devil made me do it. It isn't working that way, folks.
Yeah.
As children of God, we have such great blessings. But as children of God, we have immense responsibility. And what happens is nobody wants the responsibility. They just want the goodies.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a mature Christian,
right.
somebody who's going to be able to lead other people to the cross and live a life of integrity, you better put that word in.
Yeah.
You've got to put that word in. We sang that, the scripture, Hebrews 4:12. That is awesome. That is a tremendous way for you to memorize Scripture. It's a great way for your children to memorize Scripture.
By singing.
By a song. Just a song. And what do we start off with in the nursery? Pat the Bible, for it is the Word of God. There we go. You know, the book of Psalms, it's all about the Word. It is the Word, but it is the hymn book of the Old Testament. The Jewish nation sang them.
Yeah.
And the book of, you know what the word Psalms means? To twang or pluck, like a stringed instrument. And so this is on our outline. Singing the Word of God is a great way to hide it, to plant it deep within your heart. And kids, I'm telling you what, they're going to pick up on that and they're going to start singing it.
Yeah.
It's really great. Because if you think you had a tough childhood and the peer pressure that was on you as you were growing up, it's nothing compared to what these kids have today.
Yeah.
Nothing. And we do our part at this church in mile one to supplement what you're supposed to be doing at home. We don't want these kids to survive this onslaught. We want them to thrive, amen?
Yeah.
We want them victorious. We want them to be more than the conquerors. We want them to be a mouthpiece for God. Because this world is so crooked that when somebody stands up for the truth, everybody will know it. The Bible declares that God has enlightened every man. So when somebody is speaking the word of truth to these people, they know instinctively that it is true. We want these kids to be able to speak God's word. We want them to be able to stand in the face of peer pressure victoriously. Amen. They face what you and I have never faced. They got the internet. You could click something wrong on that internet, and those kids at a young age could be looking at such trash that it's ridiculous. And you are responsible, like, to teach them, to reveal the Word of God to them. You are responsible to do it. Moms and dads, grandma and grandpas, you have to do it. But, you know, life is busy. Don't we all know that? You know, you got baseball, you got dance, you've got soccer. But the key is if you don't teach them the things of God, this world will teach them to hate the Word of God and to make fun of it.
Right. So we have to teach them to respect it, to love it. Parent, this is on our outline. You know, you are the gatekeepers of your child's heart.
That's a huge responsibility.
It's tough because phones. I mean, there's access, like you said, to the internet all the time. And so as a parent, we not only we're saying guard our heart. As a parent, do you know what your child is listening to? Have you listened to the music? There is some
trash,
awful, ungodly music out there.
Come on.
What are they watching? There's some, you want to say soft porn on television. It's almost pornographic, some of the things.
Truth.
Some of the advertising that I've seen. I'm shocked to where it's going in this industry. I just read a story about a young boy, a Vietnamese boy, 11 years old, who wanted to commit suicide. He had addictively been watching violent video games for some years. And obviously nobody was monitoring what he was watching, what he's taking in with his eyes and his ears. And he began to have this severe depression,
mm-hmm.
and saying that he had suicidal thoughts. He wanted to kill himself. He said, I cried. I wanted to commit suicide. I'd watch these videos, and in the video games, everyone's jumping off the roof and, you know, just committing suicide. And the mother became so distraught over it. Thank God she took her son to a church, and where they showed a different kind of video. They showed a video called Superbook. How many of you are familiar with Superbook for kids? Anybody? Well,
not many.
Well, if you're a parent and you have a young child, you need to be familiar with some of these things. It's an app. It's a simple app that you could put on your laptop. You could put it on your phone. You could, you know. But it has animation, and it tells Bible stories. And just long story short, the child got born again. He gave his life to Christ. He said, I'm learning the Bible. And he told his mother, sometimes I still feel sinful, but I know that God saved me.
Hallelujah. 11-year-old boy.
11-year-old boy. And then he started to invite his friends, because his friends are doing the same thing. They're addicted to violent video games. And he's saying, come to church with me, you know, and watch this so that the same, you know, good seed can begin to go down in that child's heart. And I think to myself, these are the things, like, these simple things, the Superbook, or, I mean, there's plenty of it out
yes.
there. The YouVersion has the Bible story. If we've been promoting, you know, download YouVersion for all those Bible translations that you can take with you. There's a worship CDs you can get that are singing worship, or they're singing scripture, like Seeds Worship, it's called. For kids, and even for adults. I like it, honestly. Because you can get 12 to 15 scriptures on one CD. I mean, and I just stick it on my phone. And it's songs like we sang today.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how you can just start learning scripture and start rattling it off, and it's getting down inside of your heart. And a lot of this stuff is put to just fun music so that it catches,
right.
you know, to the kid's heart, that they like to hear it. So your children need to be given the Word of God. We need to be creative in how we do it. I mean, you could put it on in your car. Like, say, for instance, if you had a CD like the song that we played, Hebrews 4:12, and then the next one might be something from Deuteronomy, and the next one might be something from Colossians, and they're singing. Mm-hmm. And you could just make a game out of it. If you're driving them to school in the morning, it might take you 10 minutes, or going for an errand across town. Make it a game or a challenge.
Right.
And let's listen to this. Let's see if we can actually say it, because it repeats it. I mean, most of those songs are repetitive until it starts to get down inside of your heart. And then you could take a moment. What do you think that means? How can we obey that? What do you think God's saying through that scripture?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, multiply that. If you just took a moment like that in your car 5 days a week.
Come on.
Times 52 weeks in a year. How much you could impress on your child's heart the things of God. It doesn't have to turn into some kind of, okay, children, everyone sit down. We're having a Bible study. That's not going to work. We have to do these things
right.
very often as
right.
we go through life so that our kids see that talking about the things of God is just normal. This is just a normal way to live. And let's face it, in this darkening world, just seeds of doubt and lies, they're coming from the pit of hell.
Amen.
I mean, we've just watched, someone sent us a podcast of...
God, this is horrible.
People talking in California of... grade school,
10-year-olds,
sex education material that they're putting in grade school. They had the books there. They were showing it. It was
pornographic.
Shocking. We actually couldn't even watch it. It was so disturbing. I thought, this can't be what we're teaching. Because what happens in California, let's face it, we just say, well, that's way across the country. It's coming. And there is some here. I've had parents tell me that a local school here had some confusing ways to teach about sex education. I mean, they're putting seeds about gender confusion at a young age into a child's mind, you know, and then showing images.
Oh, it's...
It was unbelievable. Then you think about the gender confusion, and there's no prayer in schools. You can't pray at a school event. And then you send your kids off to a university. And they're being, it's not too far-fetched to say they're being radicalized with like some kind of Marxist mentality to hate God, to hate our country, to
right.
doubt everything, to
right.
throw the Bible out.
Right.
I mean, morality really is all but gone. I mean, it's like Isaiah said, Isaiah 59, he's like, truth has fallen into the streets. It's like nobody cares. And I think God's looking at his church saying,
where are you?
Where are you?
Yep.
Do you know me? Do you know my word? Because we're only one generation. They always say you're one generation away from just the Bible and Christianity going into extinction. If we quit teaching our kids, guess what? And I think, honestly, you know, we look at our culture, and I think that's been what's happening for the last 50 years. Little by little by little by little, there's just less and less knowledge of the word, standing on the word.
Right.
Boldness to preach the word, the full gospel,
the full counsel,
that there's the love of God, and then there's sin that we need to be repentant of. I mean, our children, we need our children to know the word of God.
You know, if we don't rise to the challenge, the risk is too great.
Yeah,
it's too great. They're the leaders of the world,
right?
If they don't get this, it's going to be what they feel. I had this impression, and those impressions are changed now because my circumstances are different.
Yeah.
Truth is truth. Truth stands the truth. To give your children the word of God and see mom and dad living it out, grandma and grandpa living it out, that's the greatest inheritance you could ever give your
Amen.
Children.
Yeah,
you have to teach them, you know, how to tie their shoes. You have to teach them about sports. But nothing, I mean nothing,
yeah.
will be more important than helping them hide the word of God in their heart, yeah. so they do not sin against God.
Yeah, amen.
Let's take a look at this scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Listen, moms and dads, you don't want to stand before God and just drop your head in shame, do you? No. And now's the time to be pricked in your heart. Listen, now's the time to be pricked in your heart, because judgment is coming to all of us. Every single one of us, believers included, will stand before Christ and give an account of their life.
Yeah.
Give an account of their life. You don't want to be ashamed. You don't want to be with regret. You were willing to crucify your flesh now so that you will be able to stand before him and said, the gift you gave me, I've multiplied. There are some parables about that, amen? Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days.
Yes.
See, we can't pick and choose what we want to hear out of the Bible. Every single thing in there, it matters. It's the full counsel of God we want to walk in. Look at what it says on our outline here. When you take the time to help your child hide God's word in their heart, it's an investment into their future decisions.
Yeah.
The word of God can change your life. It can start by changing your day.
Yeah.
Okay, we have this long, it's going to change my life. Well, let's apply it for the next hour. So that your attitude can change, amen? Because it's your mindset, your attitude can bring you to the bottom of the pit. But if you put God's word in there, if you guard your heart, if you help hide the word of God in your children's heart, they're going to be more than conquerors. They're going to lead their generation, amen? So because what's going to happen, imagine this, your child goes off to school. You know, you don't know exactly what happens at school. You're not there. Anybody know that kids can be brutal? Brutal. And if there is word in your child or grandchild's heart that's hidden, they're going to be able to come to the place where I'm not afraid of going to school. Because why? Because you've got this scripture in their heart, Joshua 1:9. God is saying this. He says, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. That's a mouthful. Why? Why can I not be discouraged? Why do I have to be courageous? Why can I not be afraid? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Yeah. Just think about that coming up in a kid's heart. Don't be afraid or discouraged. What if that's all that they...
Mm-hmm.
Be strong and courageous. That's what the Holy Spirit would whisper to them.
Yes.
Be strong and courageous. I'm with you wherever you go. There's power in that.
Amen.
Or what if your daughter, you know, kids like to just give up easily. I can't do it. It's too hard. You know, give up on a spelling test. Because some of these things, to us, a spelling test, well, big deal. But that's their world. That's important.
That's really important to say. That is their world.
But then she remembers this from Colossians 3:23. You know, when they want to give up too easily, and all the work you're doing, work the best you can. Work as if you're doing it for the Lord, not for people. It's like you're doing it for me. I'm going to help you. That's awesome power that we're planting.
Amen.
Inside of our child's heart. Or maybe with that son who grows up and goes to college, and everybody's partying like crazy. When they, you know, the frat buddies are all like, what are you doing? Aren't you going to come with us? You know, when your son's tempted to follow the crowd then.
Yeah, right, because it's going to happen.
And Romans 8:31 pops up in their head. What then shall we say to all things? If God is for me, who can be against me? Like, God's for me. Who can be against me? Like, I don't really care what you think. I care what God thinks.
Amen. Right? Yes. Now think of the same daughter who just passed her spelling test. Now she's grown up, and now there's not so great of a guy is asking her to go out on a date. Lock her up.
Right. Lock her.
Help her to hide God's word in her heart, because then she'll remember that I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah. Marvelous are your works.
And my soul knows it well.
Yeah.
There you go.
Teach her to patiently wait for the person God has for her.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is a monstrous responsibility that God has laid upon his church. He's laid upon all of us. You might be here and you don't have any children, but guess what? We're a family here.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of kids. And you're an example right
That's
here,
right
here,
yeah.
Every Sunday, every time we have a picnic, every time we have a gathering, you are an example to these kids. And how's that example going to be coming across? Is it going to be unfiltered because your mind is so locked in on the top 40 music chart? Or if you've planted the word in your heart, you've hid it in your heart so you don't sin against God and so you don't corrupt the little one by what you say. God really protects these little ones. He really protects these little ones. Because the game isn't over just because we live out 90 years here and then it's boom. No, we're living for eternity. And there's a scripture in the Bible that Jesus says, "Woe to you who cause one of these little ones who believe in me to sin." He says it's better for you to have a large millstone around your neck and thrown into the sea. Kind of sounds like Jesus was for capital punishment, doesn't it? People. It's amazing what you can find in the Bible if you read it. You start to have a godly filter about what is all thrown at you.
And you become wise according to God's word. You know, you don't have to have a college education.
Amen.
And go to school and a PhD. I'm for education. I think education's good.
Mm-hmm.
But the wisdom of God will trump a PhD in a classroom who's teaching you to ignore God and telling you that the things of God are all lies. And so we have to remember that hiding God's word in our heart is one of the most important things we can do if we want to finish our course. And look at what this is, the last scripture before we close here. It says in Isaiah 55:11.
Awesome.
I mean, think about this. The God's saying, my word will never return to me void. Like if you plant it in your heart in faith, it will produce.
It'll produce
in the heart of your child. His word will remain true and powerful. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Another wonderful promise that we have from God, that as we plant the seed of his word down inside of our heart, it shall accomplish
Amen.
What he pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing for which he sent it, whether it's in your life or in the person of your child's life that you're praying over. So we have to talk about these things, parents and grandparents, with our children, impress them upon their minds. Because if they're only it's only about what you believe and you don't really know how to pass it on to your kids, guess what?
Oh, man.
Nothing gets passed on. And so the first question as we close out, mom and dad, are you putting it into your own heart? Are you taking time to let the word of God be impressed upon your heart? We have to put something in before we have something to give out, right?
Come on.
Yeah. And really, one of the saddest things in the narrative of the Bible is seeing the love of one generation that they had for God not passed on to the next. I mean, we see that in the wilderness of what happened to that whole generation.
Even in Joshua.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And God wants our hearts. He wants our children's hearts. So it's our privilege to introduce them to the Word of God, to bring them to church, to let them be taught. And so let's just bow our heads here. Thank you, Father. We won't sing the song, okay? Father, we thank you. for the power and the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord, as we ministered this word. You give us life-giving words that we could build our life upon, a rock, not on sand, but a rock. And you say it won't return to you void, but it'll prosper in the thing for which you sent it. Help us, Lord. God, give us a greater hunger and a desire and thirst
yes.
to know you, to pray, to talk to you, to yield to you, obey you, Lord. Help us to hide your word in our hearts so that we don't sin against you. That's really the most important thing. We want to be pleasing to you. We want to walk in a way that brings you joy, Lord, and that brings us, Lord, into our purpose and our destiny that you had planned before the foundation of the earth. Help us, Father. I pray for creative wisdom in the minds of the parents and the grandparents on how to impress the word of God upon their child's heart in the coming days. Bring this message back to them, Holy Spirit. Help them to think creatively. Talk about the word together, that it would just be the most natural thing. Lord God, we thank you for the treasure of your word. And we make a determination, Lord, that the fear of you will become,
yes,
Lord, our desire, that we won't be like the foolish that don't want instruction, that the fear of the Lord, the honor of you, the glory of you, Lord, may it become more and more present in our day-to-day life in this church, Lord.
Pastor Mamie said earlier that you can't give what you don't have. A lot of people have said, well, Jesus is just a good teacher. He was a good moral teacher. Jesus is the Son of God. He came to this earth so, for one thing, to pay the penalty of the sin of the world. He came to this planet to pay your sin debt. You know, in the spiritual reality of it, you could never pay for your sin debt. It does not matter how many good things you do to try to make up for the bad things you've done. It's deeper than that. It goes so deep. It goes all the way to your spirit. And you cannot change your spirit. Only by faith in the sacrifice that Jesus did for you and for me on the cross, in that grave, and then when he was raised again. That is the only way you can be born again, born of his spirit. The greatest miracle that ever happens is when a child of the devil becomes a child of God. And guess what? We're all born a child of the devil. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you never cried out for him to save you, I'm asking you, if you're ready to do that, I'm asking you to lift your hand high enough so that I can see it. We're going to say a prayer and you're going to be saved right here, right now. The greatest miracle that could ever happen in your life, you being born again, will happen because he is faithful. Anyone at all? Okay. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that by the words that Pastor Mamie and I spoke today, that there would be a heart hunger for everyone that hears our voice, a heart hunger to know your word, to hide it in their heart so that they wouldn't sin against you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.